I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm honored to be here.
They can tell you what you can expect.
I expect you to stick to the deadlines you've agreed to.
I'm straight up mentally ill.
And I expect to be treated as such.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Sci-Fi is airing the new zombie movie called Dead 7 this Friday. Yes, it's featuring members of all the 90s boys bands.
In the end, don't I see you fall apart?
I kind of like it. Well, I like the Backstreet Boys, but that was Backstreet Boys with NSYNC, 98 Degrees, and O-Town. I used to have a buddy in O-Town, but I guess I can't remember his name because we partied too much together. That's a damn shame. To hang out together. I forget what his freaking name is. Oh, well, that's the way that goes. I guess we were having too much fun. Yes. All right. Eric, Michael Estrada, Jacob Underwood, Trevor Pennick, and Dan Miller. Plus O-Towns. So it must have been either Eric, Michael, Jacob, Trevor, or Dan.
That's one too many names.
Yeah. I still don't remember who would.
I don't think any of those are on the top 10 baby list.
They were all legal. Thank you very much. All right. John Lobertini's here, everybody. I guess
Thank you very much.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in, everybody. So we're going to talk about the town hall. Was it civil? I mean, they didn't get to argue or fight with each other because they each had an hour.
They didn't, but they fought with the ghosts of each other. The way this worked was that the candidates came out. CNN's Anderson Cooper had 10 minutes with the candidates, and then it was question and answer with the audience. So there wasn't much rebuttal. Cooper, for example, stayed on Ted Cruz, who has a tendency to avoid answering the questions. After all, he argued cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. But you know, each was asked about the other, especially Trump and Cruz. But within probably, I don't know, the last hour or so, at the end of that town hall, they pulled all three candidates up before the crowd. And after promising the Republican nominee, all three candidates had promised that they would support each other. But even John Kasich, the civil governor of Ohio, tonight all said they will not support the Republican candidate for president in November. Cruz was the first to address the question.
Well, Anderson, as you mentioned, what I said is true. I'm not in the habit of supporting someone who attacks my wife and attacks my family. I think that is going beyond the line. I think our wives, I think our kids should be off limits. They don't belong in the attacks.
Well, who would you support then, Ted?
Could it be Satan?
Yes.
And then there was Donald Trump. As you would expect, more blunt.
Do you continue to pledge whoever the Republican nominee is?
No, I don't anymore. Look,
you don't?
No, we'll see who it is.
You won't promise to support the Republican nominee?
And he was essentially saying the same thing. Let me just tell you, he doesn't have to support me. I have tremendous support right now from the people.
And so who would you support?
Could it be Satan?
It could be. Two and the same.
Now, Ohio Governor John Kasich was clearly more concerned about his reputation with the voters. Listen.
But, you know, I've been disturbed by some of the things that I've seen, and I have to think about what my word and endorsement would mean in a, you know, presidential campaign.
Oh, this is not your father's presidential campaign,
unfortunately. You know, Kasich just makes way too much sense to be on that stage.
Too much sense?
Yes. He's actually a pretty good candidate.
As a candidate?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, he makes sense for that stage.
I should actually support him if he were the candidate.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
It could very well happen. Yeah. I mean, this is very delicate. You know, the Republican Party's going to have to let this play out, because if they meddle, it's going to get very, very ugly.
Well, and they're going to meddle.
Well, yeah, and you know what? John Rothman said this a month, maybe two ago, watch out for John Kasich. And he was
right?
A blip on the radar. But you can see what might happen. They go into this brokered convention. Cruz gives all of his delegates to Kasich. And then, you know, the party does something and John Kasich is your Republican nominee. I think the Republican Party, its voters, will go ballistic and vote against the party. But, you know, that's why they play the game, right?
And John Rothman, boy, he's like a walking encyclopedia. So when he brought that up to me, you know, I kind of scratched my head. That was a month ago, but now I understand where he's coming from.
Well, you know,
he's a smart man. We
had a situation here in California where we had Gray Davis, who'd won a bunch of secondary offices, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, but he was never really considered, you know, gubernatorial material. But the year lined up, the Republican candidate was a guy named Dan Lundgren, and he kind of looked like that crazy Richard Nixon candidate, you know, during the election against Kennedy in the
60s. Where Nixon was sweating. Yes.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
Marco Rubio
He
style.
Didn't handle himself very well, and Gray Davis was – this is probably the only time I'll ever mention Gray Davis and JFK in the same sentence, but – Gray was put together, he was tan, he was calm, he was collected, and he was elected governor. So it can happen.
It can happen.
It can happen.
I have to tell you, over to the Democratic side, so over the weekend with Washington in play and Alaska and Hawaii, and Bernie running away with 80%, pretty much 80% in each state, 80 versus 20 for Hillary. Man, you know, Bernie was in, it was Saturday afternoon here in California, And I thought, well, I'm going to watch Bernie's speech from Madison, Wisconsin. And I sat there and I listened to the whole speech because I've kind of been on the fence. So like, what am I going to do when push comes to shove? I listened to Bernie Sanders and he just went, John, from issue to issue to issue to issue to issue to. I mean, I was stunned. I actually sat there and watched the whole 1 hour speech and I started to feel the burn.
Well, you know,
honest to God, because it was all substance. You pick out a topic, he talked about it.
Well, you know, if you're sick of politics as usual, and most people are, Bernie Sanders does sound good.
Yeah.
He really does.
I mean, I was blown away.
And Donald Trump, you know, rhetoric aside, makes some very interesting policy points, too. But, yeah, it's very easy to cozy up to Bernie Sanders. But what ends up happening is that you might like him, but you're afraid of what might happen if he goes up against a Republican in November.
Well, nothing.
Donald Trump or Ted Cruz.
Oh, Wait a second. Bernie Sanders would win by 11%
educated
now.
Voters, educated voters.
Hillary,
promise,
4%. But,
There are a million polls out there that tell you a number of different things. There are polls that Fox News was talking about the other day, and all of them had the Republican nominee beating Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Interchange the candidate and see what the poll says. But there are people who are going to be afraid of what's going to happen in November, because electability is a factor. And of course, there are a lot of campaign ads and a lot of nationally, you know, a poll released today shows Hillary Clinton nationally with a 54-36% advantage over Bernie Sanders. In fact, in his home state, I mean, he lives in Vermont now, but he's a native of New York. She's got a 40% lead in the polls.
Well, Bernie wants a debate now in New York, and you know why he wants to do that, so he can bring up the Wall Street connection. But I think everybody in New York knows that. We all know that.
Well, apparently Hillary's people are a bit offended that he's demanding a debate. So we'll see where that goes.
Who's going to win, everybody?
Could it be Sting?
Maybe. What do you see in this picture? And this is a ribeye steak. This is an internet thing that's going around.
Yeah, that looks like
that's who does that Satan. Look like, Ryan? That looks like
That's Satan, I guess. In the ribeye.
It's either that or Trump and Cruz morphed into one.
Could it be Satan?
More of the Drex Radio Show on the way on KGOA 10.
Fresh, live, local. The Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
So Bernie Sanders gave a speech in Portland over the weekend, and a little bird came down and landed right there on his podium. That's a sign. That's always a sign, you know.
And if he or she does their schoolwork seriously, does well, takes school. Oh.
There's a birdie. A birdie.
I know it doesn't look like it, but that bird is really a dove asking us for world peace. No more wars.
Yeah, so put a bird on that. Mike in Elk Grove, you're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
Yes, greetings, gentlemen. By far, I'm feeling the burn, too, especially after the three-state sweep, which, by the way, media didn't cover as well here in my town of Sacramento. They put his landslide victory on page six in Sunday, when Hillary won that landslide in the southern states. Oh, yeah, front page. For days, it was absolutely crazy. So I can't stand the media for that. But, you know, as far as statesmanship, none of the other candidates have it. Maybe Hillary, but she doesn't have that trustworthiness. But you look at Trump, the thought of him having, besides his rhetoric, having him with the nuclear football is just scary beyond measure.
Well, and he's already mentioned he would use it against ISIS. Maybe. He won't discount it. So, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, the other thing, too, and we've proven in this state, you can't have a businessman run the country because they have to be a statesperson as well. That's the other part of the job. Kassigian, what was that guy's name, ran against Brown last time out, and before him was Whitman. You cannot have a business person, especially when they – when they flip flop on the issues, particularly with the immigration. Cruz is just as scary, doesn't have the experience. Kasich, he's done a terrible job in Ohio. Even though he won his state, big whoop, he didn't have it in the general election because Ohio has gone to Democrats in the past, so he's not electable. But then when you look at Bernie, he has a proven track record in his life. I mean, there was one blog I saw where Bernie was getting arrested for marching with Martin Luther King.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Hillary
yeah.
was supporting Gulf.
Right. And I don't know about you. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good night. And I've said this several times. I mean, I'm kind of guilty of not listening close enough to Bernie because I didn't think he had a chance until this weekend. And I sat down and watched his entire speech after he won those the three Western states. And I just thought I was just really blown away. You know, I'm thinking, you know what? The millennials are onto something here. This guy could be next.
Thank you.
Yes, Ryan.
We're onto something.
Yes, you're onto something. Yeah. I, you know, honest to God, it's it was really ear-opening to hear him go through each and every issue and then explain them, you know, without going overboard, making a 10-minute segment out of each issue. But speaking to each individual issue, I mean, you know, and I thought, oh, he's ringing my bell on every single one of these.
He's kind of easy to listen to, too, you know?
Yeah, and you know you're getting the truth. There's no spin. It's Bernie.
I was saying yeah. on another show on the KGO that he kind of reminds me of a grandpa, like a good grandpa that will like teach
right.
you a lesson.
Right.
And that's I just kind of like, as a millennial, I just kind of like grab onto that and kind of like understand that and feel it in a different way than a lot of the other
Okay, now let me go back to my Generation X and talk about Guns N' Roses for a second. So, Axl Rose, the rumor is that he was caught leaving the same studio. So maybe this insane rumor that Axl Rose is going to take over for Brian is a real thing. Yes, Brian is losing his hearing, so his doctor said you can't go out on tour. So I guess Axl Rose is stepping up to the plate. So here they were caught in the same rehearsal where AC/DC is practicing. Listen. So I want to stop right here because Guns N' Roses actually covered AC/DC's Whole Lotta Rosie back in the day. Bad, right? So Brian Johnson has to shut things down, and they're going to be doing a 21-date North American tour, so I would think we would be one of them.
Hopefully.
That's not on... Is there any AC/DC on the absolute worst songs play in bars,
not
according to bartenders? Oh, my God.
I hope not.
Yeah, Ryan, my producer, gave me this list. Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi. What's better than 100 stockbrokers from New Jersey belting out... Well, we're halfway there. With basically everything.
Most of those songs are all just sing-along songs, and I think it just annoys the bartenders.
Explosive diarrhea. Red Solo Cup, Toby Keith.
Oh God.
Oh Sweet Caroline. Yeah.
Jesus.
No, don't play. Don't be that person. let me see. Closing Time. It's Closing Time. Semisonic.
We play that every time we close Trader Joe's.
I know, right? I Got a Feeling, Black Eyed Peas. That one's been played into the ground, yeah. Anything by Phish, Grateful Dead, DMB, or pretty much any jam band. Well, that's probably okay here in the Bay, but the rest of the country, that doesn't play well. Because the 20 minutes of guitar noodling and coyote references, and no comprende so much with them.
It goes way too long.
Right. Freebird, I mean, it's proven that the more you drink, the more you're likely you're going to be down with this song, right?
Probably.
I don't think the bartenders appreciate it.
No. Yeah. They probably hear these songs like a million times every day.
Are we having fun yet? Let me see. Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. Well, they play that here because this is their town.
And right? It goes along with the Giants World Series, their
right,
first
of
one.
Of course, right. And Piano Man by Billy Joel.
All these songs are just old classics.
Yeah.
I mean.
You know what? They asked bartenders this, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. They're just a Thrillist. They asked the bartenders.
They're just going to
go with
it. Not
the patrons, the bartenders.
Exactly.
You know, and then the bartenders, don't they have a secret magic button to hit skip or something?
Oh, yeah, they can turn it up, turn it down, next song, turn it off.
Right. I thought so. Cheaters, that's what
cheaters.
Well, didn't you tell me you played Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, my gosh. I tweeted out one time. I tweeted out, what would happen if I played Who Let the Dogs Out 6 times in a row? And then I did it. And then everyone started booing me, and I pretty much got kicked out of the bar. I left with my tail between my legs.
Where was...
Laughing.
Let me see. They did this to Hillary. I don't know if this one's it or not. Let me see if it'll play. This is probably the original.
For $1 zillion, the question is, who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, God.
Who let the dogs out?
Dude, I would. Yeah, this is the real version. I'll find the Hillary one in a second. They kick your ass.
Where she's barking?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's a class. Then you ran after about the third time, I'm sure. Yeah, you get the hell out of there. All right, we'll be back with more of the Late Night Late Show wrap up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO8.
If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
While the party was nice, the party was pumping.
Hey, yeah.
And everybody had
guess who found
on.
What? Yes.
Until the fellas start the name calling.
Get ready.
And the girls respond to the call. I have a poor one shot out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Hillary, what the hell? I mean, you know, you've been doing this for 35, 40 years. Really need one of your advisors to tell you don't go out there and bark like a dog, did you? I don't know what that that is. That's whatever it is next that we're not going to listen to. But I have to tell you this. So I found this today. This is from theamericanmirror.com. So I'm sure it's a very right-wing thing. And this woman, they interviewed Sally Miller, and she had this, well, disparaging things to say about Hillary Clinton.
She had several abortions before she had Chelsea, and it was only because Bill convinced her that if they were ever going to move up in politics, that they had to have a child, because that's what the political analyst had said. They've got to see her as a human. I'm sure if she is a lesbian, it's not fun.
So where did you hear she was a lesbian? Has anyone told you that?
Bill told me.
Really?
Oh, Bill, because I said, why do you think she is so cold? Why do you think she is so uninterested in kissing and holding and just being close physically? He said that when she was in college, that she and some girls experimented and she liked it. It was more vogue for a woman to have a female partner than to have a male partner.
What planet is that woman on? Whoa. It was more vogue then? Honey, it's vogue. It's like Madonna Vogue. Snap out of it.
She sounds a little old, too. Right. So she probably doesn't understand what the heck's going on nowadays.
Oh, my God.
Living in the past.
Vogue.
That's when you need the song. Right?
I know, right? Yeah. Oh, Jesus, potatoes. Who cares? All right. Here's one I care about. Talking about babies. Full story here. So back when Melissa Etheridge and her then partner, Julie Cypher, were looking for somebody to supply the juice for their two kids back in the 90s. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, we're not children. Yes, they went with David Crosby. Well, you know, a musically talented, well, someone would say chubby addict, but with male pattern baldness and curly clown hair. But I mean, hey, it's David Crosby. Love him very much. But, they almost went with Brad Pitt. Melissa said, I saw how badly he wanted children, Brad. And I thought, you know, I don't want to share this with someone who really, really wants children this badly, because my children don't need another parent. They have two. She says Crosby was the perfect choice because he and his wife had already had their own kids and were just looking to do it as a gift. I love David Crosby. So, that's how Melissa, you know, so how does Melissa feel about it now? She says, quote, well, of course, my teenagers are now like, well, dad, you know, Brad Pitt could have been my dad. Yes.
Who wouldn't want Brad
right.
Pitt?
My son said, I could have been amazingly handsome, but my children are lovely and gorgeous anyway. Well, I don't know. What can you say? You could have had Brad Pitt.
I'd take Brad Pitt any day.
I think so, right?
I want to be related to him. Would I get some endorsements or some money from it? I don't know.
Well, and so they went with, David Crosby instead.
Well, the party was nice, the party was bumping. And everybody having a ball.
Your dad could have been Brad Pitt, but it was David Crosby. You know what I'm saying? Melissa Etheridge did. All right. It's a beautiful story, and thank you for sharing it. It's very nice. Okay, moving right along. Melissa McCarthy did a foul-mouthed PSA for the Alamo Drafthouse Theaters, Texas, telling people not to use their cell phones during the movie. Oh, this is fun.
Uh-oh. I guess you caught me. I'm exercising and working out my body again because my body's my holy temple. And much like every holy temple, I treat it with respect. And that's how you should treat the Alamo Drafthouse, because it's a temple to movies. I mean, you wouldn't come into a holy temple and text or make calls, would you? By the way, when you text, the light comes on. And you ruin every thing for every person in the theater. You don't need to check your Facebook at the Alamo Draft House, because nobody likes your face or your book, because you're the kind of person that keeps pulling out your phone during the movie. I gotta get back and working out my body. My trainers are all over me. These guys are crazy.
Okay. Melissa McCarthy, everybody. So let's see here. The 10 best and worst superhero movies. Now, just like Brian Pelletier, I will defer to you, Ryan Hilton, because, you know, I like my superhero movies every once in a while, like Iron Man. But it's a short list. Okay, so 10 best. X-Men 2000.
I like all the X-Men movies.
Yeah. Darkman 1990.
I don't know.
I don't even know what that is. Iron Man 2008. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about some Iron Man.
Captain America Winter Soldier 2014.
Cool. Yes.
Didn't see that one. Hellboy from 2004.
What? How is that a... What? It's
top 10.
How is that in the top 10? And second off, it's not a superhero. It's just like some kind of random thing. I don't know. That needs to be thrown out.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2014.
Guardians of the Galaxy. That was, if you haven't seen that, Drex, that is one of the greatest. I made my mom sit down and watch it with me.
You know what? And Chris Pratt is doing this contest because they're producing Guardians of the Galaxy number 2. And if you go to the website or whatever, you can actually win time on the set.
Oh, that's
to
pretty,
hang out with Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt is a hunk. He's awesome. That guy's awesome.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's okay. one of the soundtrack.
I always thought it was a silly ass movie.
It was. I like that about it too.
It's not animated or anything.
I mean, there's some like CG kind of animation to it too. So, but I mean, okay. I mean, there's a little bit to it.
All right. Superman 78. We're top three now. Spider-Man 2, 2004.
I didn't like the ones with the what was the actor?
You tell me.
Oh my gosh.
Google. Google's the best thing that ever happened to radio. You would never know. Now, you know, I have to fill in the blank while he looks, but I do it all the time. I just keep running my mouth and you don't know.
Tobey Maguire.
There you go. Thank you.
I didn't like it with him.
Number two, best superhero movie ever, The Dark Knight 2008.
Oh, those Batman movies were out of control good.
Well, was that the one where the moron came in there as the Joker and shot up the theater?
That was
The Dark Knight Rises. All right.
It was the first one, wasn't it?
Well, this one was 2008.
I can't remember if that's the year of that one.
I'm not sure if that was. But that kind of ruined it for me. I couldn't watch it after that.
I mean, the Dark Knight movie, both of the movies with Christian Bale in it, they changed Batman forever, and it made it like the big thing that it is now. So it's
all right. I'll tell you the number one. You should be able to guess it coming up here next on the Drex Radio Show, and I'll tell you the 10 worst on the way on KGO 810.
A Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
You are my fire, the one desire.
We're playing Backstreet Boys. I mean, it's just why.
When I say I want it that way.
Yeah.
But we are,
you know, we played the Backstreet Boys in softball, and we kicked their ass. A lot of fun. True.
I would have liked to see that.
I know. And I'm just horrible. I mean, that wasn't embarrassing. I mean, I threw out the first pitch. Did you ever throw out a first pitch at a baseball game?
No. That's going to be a little nerve-wracking.
I threw out the first pitch at a Cubs game.
Oh, geez.
And if it was bowling, it would have been a strike. Nothing like having 40,000 people boo you. It's a very special feeling. And then I was harassed. Oh, my God. And every guest that came on my show in Chicago would bring that up. I'm like, oh, could we please erase that? Delete that. All right.
And the worst part is you probably practiced a bunch of times beforehand.
No, I have to tell you how over the top it is. Yes, I actually had someone train me. Here's the problem. This is insane. So, honest, okay? So, the problem was we got the we actually made a pitcher's mound. We measured out the major league.
Oh, whoa, you went full.
Yes, I went full throttle on this. Okay, so we actually made the pitcher's mound, and then we measured out the MLB dimensions to where the base would be. We had the mound up there and everything. I don't know. I spent like $1,000 on this. Okay, because I throw like a girl. I mean, I'm just being honest. The problem was I got good at it, but I got good at it when I was about six beers in. Yes. I mean, the more I drank, the better I got. And so, you know, here it is. It's 105 degrees. It's like 100 degrees at Wrigley. Okay. So that's warm in Chicago. Okay. And so I go out and everybody's like, Trex, you should have a few beers. And I said, no, I can't. This is the friendly confines. You don't drink. I'm not going to drink and go out to Wrigley. I mean, I can't. That's sacrilegious.
Baseball and drinking go one-on-one, though.
I mean, they do, but what? Like an ass. Like a dumbass. So I had no alcohol in me, and I just, it bounced twice.
Hey, you know what? Don't worry. There's been a lot worse.
I know, but, you know, it was the whole thing where I practiced for a month, and the problem was I was hammered every time, and then I'm good at it. Like a lot of things.
Well, hope maybe someday the Giants down the street will let you throw out a first pitch.
Don't invite me. No. Okay, so the number one best superhero movie of ever, all time.
Do I have to guess?
Yeah. Well, you should have been thinking about it. It's recent.
I'm going to say Batman, the second Batman.
No. The Avengers.
Avengers? Oh, well, if that makes sense. You get them all together. We were talking off the air about how DC is just, like, with the new Batman versus Superman, they're just, like, not getting up to the same level as what a Marvel is with all the X-Men movies. So, I mean...
Yeah, well, and Warner Brothers is all in on this now because they need to make $800 million, and then they got Wonder Woman coming out, and every one of those characters that you saw is going to be a standalone movie. So if this doesn't work, it's disaster.
They are coming out with an Aquaman movie,
B versus S, Batman versus mm-hmm. Superman. So, I mean, that has to work for them.
They need it to work or else. I mean, they're still not going to be able to keep up with with Marvel, with, like, the Avengers. I mean, everyone went nuts for that.
And the Avengers were great.
Yeah, that was a great movie, too.
See, now, I saw that one, yeah, and I loved it.
Which one was the best? Was it the first one or the second one?
Well, The Dark Knight was second, 2008.
The Avengers one.
Avengers is number one from 2012.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. And then, let me see here what I've been doing. All right. Deadpool, highest grossing R-rated movie ever. Deadpool has now earned $746 million worldwide, which breaks the record for the highest-grossing R-rated movie. The previous record of $742 million had been held by The Matrix Reloaded since 2003.
Wow.
So that's Deadpool. I want to see it.
You still haven't?
No, I still haven't seen it. Well, I don't like to go to the theater. I just don't.
It's a fun movie. I mean, it's definitely not something to take your kids to. I'll say that.
I know
again.
My neighbors took their 10 and 11 year olds. Yes, my neighbor took. You know, she has a daughter and a son, one like 10 and 11, and they convinced her that it was a kids movie.
There's like a 10
and
minute
she was
scene
horrified.
Of like. There's like a 10 minute scene that's like softcore porn, and I was like, I'm sitting there with my girlfriend. I'm like, oh my god, and I'm like looking over at her, like, am I allowed to watch this right now? It gets a little intense.
I can't imagine. I mean, can you imagine? Having a 10 and 11 year old there?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking the
highlight of their life, I'm sure.
Bringing one of my little cousins to it, and I'll be having to, like, earmuffs and cover his eyes for, like,
earmuffs.
10 minutes. Earmuffs. Earmuffs. Don't listen. It gets a little intense. Okay. It's a really good movie, though.
All right. So we have, let me see, good news, bad news. This is weird. So this is why karma is a bitch. This 55-year-old dude, I won't even say his name, from Tennessee, is a violent sex offender. He's been convicted of rape 5 separate times and was sentenced to 25 years in prison in the 90s. He got out a few years ago for good behavior. Last Wednesday, he was walking down the sidewalk watching porn on his cell phone.
Well, I think it's ironic that he was watching porn and this was dealt with some of the crimes he may have perpetrated.
I called the police. They showed me his record. And his first rape conviction had been when he was 18.
Yeah.
And then there were several more.
He had his life in order. It's a big loss. I love him. I still love him.
Yeah. Well, a trailer got loose from a truck, ran right over him, and smashed him on impact.
Exactly what you said, karma. Very much so, karma.
Karma's a bitch, man. I'm telling you. Okay, and now some genuine good news. Hugh Jackman, yes, X-Men. Yes, had to rescue kids in a riptide in Australia on Saturday, and he did it. It got the kids to safety. Conditions were so bad that the beach had to be closed.
What happened?
Yeah, I just went out for my last swim and then sort of got into the channel and sort of was swimming and trying to find the bottom, and I looked up and I said, oh, there's Hugh Jackman. And I just sort of didn't expect to see him in the water. Then we got up onto the sandbar and his daughter was struggling to get up to the sandbar, and so I just sort of reached down and grabbed her arm and put my arm up to get Hugh, just to do a chain to pull us up on the sandbar. So that's what you do with anyone, any family out there, which I've done before. And then Hugh just went off to get his son Oscar.
Yeah, went for a little dip. It wasn't too bad when I first got out there. Then I started chatting to Hugh up on the sandbank, and his kids were there as well. And then the waves became a little bit bigger, and there's actually a bit of a dip in the sandbar, and the rip was quite strong, and Oscar and Ava sort of just got washed off the edge. Hugh grabbed Ava, and I sort of saw Oscar drifting off, so I went after little Oscar, and we got them back up on the sandbar. He's definitely a bit of a super dad, superhero, and he's a super bloke too, so he's a good guy to have around.
Well, which one of you super blokes pulled Hugh Jackman down to the sand and made out with him? I mean, come on.
He's a good bloke.
Yes, he's a good bloke. All righty, that's it. Don't play this at the bar. Yeah, unless don't. You're here. unless you live here. I guess it's okay here, but the bartenders might hate it. Go Giants!
Go Giants!
Have a good night. John Batchelor's next on KGO A10.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.